You need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space, there are no filters to replace, and it's only one-third the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Happy Friday, TGIF. I am back, and I am so excited to be here. I have missed you all so much. As always, want to give major kudos to both my fill-in hosts, Caroline Levitt and Jess Machado, who did an excellent job filling in. You had two really great programs there. And of course, Jared, the producer, for holding down the fort as always. We have tons to talk about today. The number, if you want to call in, I have the first 2 hours clear because I've missed the callers. I want to hear from you. The number is 844-500-4242. Okay, so now let's get to it. I want to talk, well, let's be honest about what the number one story right now, as far as the networks are concerned, is. And that would be this Murdaugh trial. So every day I have, you know, Fox on, I check back and forth with Newsmax, and I keep it running in the office just to double check what people are covering in case I miss anything. And this actually, it's dominating the coverage. It has to do with our poll question, which you can vote at GraceCurleyShow.com. And it's an incredibly bizarre, twisted story. I'm not going to pretend to really understand all of it. They just came out with a Netflix documentary on it, and it was number one yesterday. Since I had some spare time in the afternoon, I did dabble in it a bit. But I'm not one of those people who was glued to this at every turn. But huge props. I want to give huge props to the New York Post, who I thought won the cover of the day and the headline of the day, which isn't really a shock because no one's really competing with the New York Post on this front. They're very good at the kind of tabloid-esque headlines that I love. How to Get Away with Murdaugh. Thought that was a great headline. It really made me go, wow. Whoever thought of that in the newsroom, he got an attaboy, or she got an attaboy for sure. So we can touch on this a little bit more later in the show. Like I said, it has to do with our poll question. I'm curious how much interest there is as far as my listening base in this story. And we're going to find out in just a little bit. But what I wanted to start with, as far as the story I cannot stop following, I cannot stop getting angry about. I try. Jared knows this. I try to keep my blood pressure low. I try not to get too heated. But everything about this East Palestine story drives me nuts. You could not, as an administration, handle this worse if you tried. If there was a handbook,
hey, I'm here at the office.
If there was a handbook on how to bleep up a situation and look as obtuse and aloof and tone deaf as possible, the book wouldn't do it justice. Because these people are writing the book on it. They are making history. It's historic. They always talk about how historic everyone is. This person's historic because this is the first check any box you want person running this department. Well, this is historic, watching this complete disaster. So let's kind of cover it. I was off for a few days. You already know a lot of this, although I do have some little updates for you, some little nuggets that I think will add even more to it. Trump went to Ohio earlier this week. I know Howie covered it. I know Jess covered it yesterday. Caroline talked about it as well. It was, without a doubt, I think a slam dunk for Donald Trump. He was at McDonald's, and at one point he said, do you guys want help ordering? I think I know the menu better than anybody here. He had the truckloads of Trump water. They said they might have to bring in other water that wouldn't be as good as Trump water, but there was a lot of Trump water to give out. He was just himself. And Jared, you know, I don't do this often. I don't play the I told you so often. But as someone who's critical of Trump and gets a lot of heat from it, when a caller weighed in earlier in the week and said, Grace, what advice would you give Trump? I told that caller, I don't need to give him any advice. This is his zone. This is when he's in his element. This is when he's at his best. And I loved having a 24 or 48 hour period where I could talk about that, because I miss Trump in this zone. I miss Trump doing something really important, not just putting out Truth Socials about not calling DeSantis Meatball Ron. I missed seeing him in action, and he really did come alive. And now what's happened, and this is a really brilliant move, because although they'll never admit it, the Biden administration is now trying to play catch up on all fronts when it comes to this optics nightmare that they've created. And it's a little too late. Everything they're doing feels too late, feels reactionary, feels insincere. Trump got there first. And so whether it's Biden or FEMA or Pete or anyone else, they're coming off as though they're just trying to make up for dropping the ball.
And we actually had a caller, I believe, called in yesterday talking about this. And it's even better for Trump, because if he had just done this right away and swooped in before they'd been able to have a response to it, you'd be like, oh, he's trying to steal their spotlight. At this point, it's been 3 weeks.
Right.
And he was like, you know what? I gave you morons 3 weeks to get this together and you still couldn't do it. I will take care of this. It's even more brilliant.
It's such a good point, Jared. And I actually had a friend email me that the other day and said, I cannot believe he beat them to it. Because like Jared just pointed out, it wasn't even a race. You're running a race by yourself. Nobody else is even appearing like they're going to try. And so you wait 3 weeks. And I want to go over the timeline, because I think the timeline here is what's so damning for the Biden administration. But I was really thinking about it earlier, and this administration, they've had no shortage of scandals. I don't even think they describe themselves, like the Obama administration, scandal-free. We've had a scandal-free administration. I don't think they'd even go that far. They've had more glitches and problems than you can count. So their lack of competence has always been on full display. We've always seen how incompetent these people are. But what I think is really, really blatant right now is a lack of empathy. And that's something how we talked about earlier this week, or maybe last week. And I can't get it out of my head now, because I think it's worse. I think it's way worse. You know, we've been talking about Jimmy Carter a lot lately. That's a really good example. You can make really bad decisions that have bad outcomes. But there is something to be said for people at least thinking that you care, thinking that your heart's in the right place. And that's something that's hard for people to shake. And you could argue that this past 3 weeks, Joe Biden's lack of empathy was highlighted more than it ever has been. You might say to me, well, I thought during Afghanistan, during that botched withdrawal, when he was checking his watch multiple times while the fallen soldiers were being transferred from Afghanistan, the dignified transfer, he checked his watch a million times. That one's close. That one's in the running. But this image, this is the problem now, is we have two different images that are juxtaposed. You have Trump in East Palestine with the red MAGA hat on at McDonald's with people, connecting with people, and just being there. That's a lot of life, is just being there. It makes a big impact. And then you have Biden falling up the stairs in Poland. That's going to stick. Sometimes in politics, and how we could talk to you about this, I'm sure he will today. In politics, visuals are really tough to shake. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, we've got multiple videos that go viral of this guy falling up the stairs or walking through Kyiv with Zelensky. And then we've got videos of Trump meeting with people who are holding signs that say, no more Joe, shaking hands with people, signing things, signing his autograph. That's got to be worth a couple million. Picture's worth 1,000. How much is this worth? But Pete, again, just reacting to Trump, he goes to East Palestine yesterday. And he's in what looked like, and I've seen conflicting reports, looked like to me, dress shoes. His camp is claiming, no, these were work boots. Very fancy work boots, but that's okay. Maybe they were work boots. And I love how his team's like, well, what does it matter what his shoes are? You should care more about... Well, I do remember a time when Melania Trump wore heels, not to a natural disaster, but on the plane over to a natural disaster before she changed into work boots. And that was a huge story. So don't try to shame me for being interested in the footwear of the officials in this administration.
They were the official work boots that came with his construction worker costume.
Yeah, he definitely seemed like he was not in his element. As much as Trump was in his element, Pete was not. And what he did was what we all knew he was going to do. Buzzword machine shows up, starts blaming Trump. They really want to hammer home this idea of if it weren't for the Trump era deregulations, then none of this would have happened. Unfortunately, there's a wrench being thrown into that, which we've talked about before. Now we have audio of the NTSB chair. She goes on CNN and she once again debunks those claims. Now, we also have audio of Pete and his press secretary. I don't know if having a thin skin is a requirement in this administration, but they're not used to getting any sort of questions. Well, no, that's not true. They're used to getting questions like, Pete, tell us about how you proposed to your husband at O'Hare International. Or Pete, explain to us how the highways are racist. Explain to us how white construction workers are propelling racism and blah, 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 blah. They're used to those questions. But questions that are kind of direct, no. That sets off all the people in this administration. So we've got his press secretary getting hot under the collar. We've got Pete getting irritated. And that doesn't look good either. You don't want to seem like you're getting mad when you're being asked questions. As you said earlier to me, Jared, in my office, you're government officials. This is, you answer to us. We get to ask questions. They're acting like it's paparazzi or something. You know what I mean? Like, excuse me. The flash. No.
Yeah, I don't want to be on camera. We'll get another job.
This is what you signed up for. And so you have that aspect of it. They're trying to blame Trump. But what I want to talk about when we come back is Joe Biden's tweets, because he finally tweeted about Ohio. Wait till you hear how many times he's tweeted about Ukraine. Meanwhile, we have updates on Ukraine, by the way. If you were worried about any corruption going on, any of the money that we're spending,
Vandalization.
I think it's like $100 billion. Any of that being misused, misappropriated, don't worry. We have officially closed that case. Everything is good. Nothing to see here. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Joy Behar being a terrible human being, which is really her thing. That is her brand. And we've got a lot more. We've got a lot more to get to. There's so much in the news today. Kamala Harris sound. I can't wait. I can't wait to talk about it all. The number is 844-500-4242. We are talking East Palestine. We'll continue with this. And when we come back, most importantly, we're going to take all your calls. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Both information and misinformation injected into this situation, none of which is to the benefit of the community when it comes to that misinformation.
Did Norfolk or...
So I lost my train of thought.
Me too. Whenever Pete's talking, whenever KJP's talking, whenever Kamala Harris is talking, I can assure you I have lost my train of thought. My mind goes blank. We actually have a lot of Kamala Harris today. She's been back at it again. She is, can't get enough of those Venn diagrams. But before we go back to Pete, before we go back to his attempt to blame Donald Trump, and before we start taking your calls. By the way, the number is 844-500-4242, and the lines are open. I wanted to start this segment with the poll question, which is brought to you by Rizzo Insurance. When was the last time you had your insurance audited? Rizzo saved one of my coworkers over $1,700. To get your insurance audited, go to rizzoinsurance.com. Jared Diglio, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is Are you watching the Murdaugh trial? Yes, the whole thing. No, none of it. Or I'll watch parts here and there.
Okay. So up until yesterday, my answer was no. I was at my parents' house and they were watching it. And then I ended up watching it. And then I actually ended up watching some of the Netflix series on it. I haven't been glued to this. I don't tend to get super invested in these kind of weird, bizarre crimes. And that's strange, Jared, because I love true crime. But I don't, when it's like day-to-day coverage, I don't really keep up with it. I have to imagine that people are going to say yes, because it's everywhere. Fox, I mean, I was watching The Five last night, and Fox basically would just go in and out of it and then have the cast of The Five react. So I'm saying here and there based off my day yesterday, but if it was before that, I would have said no.
16% of the audience says, I will watch parts here and there. 3% say they're watching the whole thing, and 81% say no, they're not watching any of it.
What's really sad about 81% say no, they're not watching any of it.
Nope.
Okay, so I'm not going to feel bad now if I don't do too much on it, because
I mean, yeah, we have Fox on one of the TVs here, so I peripherally see stuff, but yeah,
there's only so much you can say.
Yeah.
Well, Alex Murdaugh, the dad who's being accused of killing his wife and his son, he's got a real background in law, so people are saying that even though he's testifying, which maybe wasn't the most brilliant move, he's doing, like, I was just watching The Five, and they said he's doing a pretty decent job because he's frustrating the prosecutor. So the prosecutor looks like he's getting real angry, and that sometimes doesn't play well with the jury. But, you know, Judge Jeanine said yesterday, she said all they need is one juror who doesn't think that, who thinks maybe he didn't do it. And she thinks they're going to get one juror. But when I was watching the Netflix series, what I was taken by was the story of the son driving the boat before these murders happened. He drove a boat with a couple of his friends, and a girl was killed. He was drunk out of his mind, and they hit pilings on their way home, and she flew off the boat and she was killed. That was, to me, the saddest part. I haven't gotten to the rest of it yet, but that was really sad. And this family just seems like they've gotten away with a lot over the years, and it's finally all catching up with Alex Murdaugh. I know his son Buster, I guess, is giving people the finger, and they just seem very, very entitled and like a strange bunch. We will take your calls. Let's go to Peggy. Peggy wants to talk about Pete Buttigieg. Go ahead, Peggy.
Hi, Grace. Awesome show as usual. What I find interesting about this whole East Palestine situation is, and among other things about the Biden administration, they have the worst instincts, gut instincts, of any group I've ever seen. Donald Trump's instincts are always spot on, and these people could not be further from that. Every single move they make is wrong. It's like they don't have a single natural, honest instinct.
Yeah, and you know, Peggy, when you talk about that, it brings me right back to that famous quote about Joe Biden and how he's been wrong. And this was Robert Gates, so it was the former defense secretary in the Obama administration, who said Joe Biden's been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy decision over the last, I think it was, four decades. And it turns out, when given the opportunity, he's not just wrong on foreign policy. He's wrong on everything domestic, too. It's very unfortunate for all of us. We'll continue your calls. Thank you, Peggy, for weighing in. It's 844-500-4242. More sound, more calls, so much more when we come back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
844-500-4242. Lines are open, but right now I want to give a little credit to the text line, which you can always participate in. You just got to text Curly, C-U-R-L-E-Y, to 617-213-1066. We got a lot of great texts coming in. 774 says, Grace, Pete's line of defense won't work since we're 2+ years in with Biden. More than enough time to reverse any Trump policies. It's an obvious smokescreen by Pete. I would agree. I don't think, except for the truly Trump deranged, and I've run into a lot of the truly Trump deranged in the last few days, I don't think most people are buying this. It's just been too much time. They've had plenty of time to reverse everything else, you know, and they've totally transformed the country. So trying to pin this on Donald Trump doesn't really make any sense. I actually talked to someone the other day, and I really try not to get angry when I'm having political arguments, because I think you kind of lose some of your credibility if you get too red in the face. But I couldn't help myself. I was talking to a person and they said to me, well, you would have never been this critical of Trump if it had happened under his watch. And I lost it. It was like the cartoon where the fire just, your head just turns into flames. I said, right there. That's the whole point. It didn't happen under Trump. That's what we're trying to tell you. I would remember if these kind of strange, freakish accidents were occurring under Donald Trump. You know how I would remember? Because when Trump put ketchup on his steak, we had a 24/7 news cycle on it. So I think if there were trains exploding and vinyl chloride, you know, being burned off into the air, might have heard something. Might have come across my desk. And I don't know if, Jared, if you guys played this, you probably did. The ex-CIA agent, Mark, I can't say his last name. It's Polymeropoulos or something. He was on with Joe Scarborough. We'll get this cut.
Oh, that's probably why we didn't play it.
Yeah. You weren't watching Joe while I was away. But he's on with Joe Scarborough, and he's talking about Ukraine. And he says, if Trump had won the election, then Ukraine would be part of Russia right now. And again, Jared, you know what happened? I go into Hulk mode. I was like, do you hear yourself? If Trump were president, Russia never would have invaded. You know how I know that? Because we have 4 years of proof of what happened when Trump was president. And guess what didn't happen? Russia didn't invade Ukraine. They did a lot of invasions during the other previous presidents, but not under Trump. And so this playing this game of if Trump were president right now, they think they're playing it, Jared. They think that's a good idea. It's the dumbest thing you can do, because you know what most people think of when they play this hypothetical, which I'm alongside Howie here. I don't like to answer hypotheticals, but if you're going to do it, when people say, well, if Trump were president, the left wants to play that game. Okay, honey, you can try. It's not going to end well for you, because most people think if Trump were president, maybe I could afford some eggs. If Trump were president, maybe we wouldn't have, what was it that Caroline said, like an 800% increase on the southern border? If Trump were president, maybe my 401k would be doing good again. So if you want to play the if Trump were president, do it at your own peril, because it's not going to work. It's not going, you're not doing what you think you're doing. And we also have, just a side note here, we have another text that's referring to our poll question. And 505 says, if you start talking about Murdaugh, I'll turn you off too. Why is this being forced into our lives? Hey, 505. Just brought it up briefly. We're not going to do 3 hours on it. Do not panic. You sound like a CNN staffer. I want to mention this, Jared. So before I left, Don Lemon was the big news story. He's still in there. He's still, you know, making waves. But Don Lemon had insulted Nikki Haley. He said she was a woman past her prime. She's 51 years old. Hillary Clinton, I think, is like 75. I might be being generous here. She might be older than that. Kamala Harris is 58. There's plenty of women in the Democrat Party who want to be president who are far past Don Lemon's idea of their prime. But either way, he says it. He catches a lot of heat. He goes to racist, homophobic, Disney World in hell, Florida, for his long weekend. And then he comes back. And I saw this story that the CNN female staffers are angry that he's back and they're threatening to quit. It's just, you know, just a report, but they're threatening to quit if he doesn't get fired. This is a real mentality we have now in this country. Do you notice this? Like, even 505, if you do this, I'm not going to listen. Okay. up to you. Same with the writers of the New York Times at CNN. If you don't do what we want, they sound like Bane from Batman. If you don't do what we want, you have 5 minutes. It's like, oh, hold on here. Wait a second. Who calls the shots? If I'm Chris Licht, he's got plenty of problems at CNN, and I want to fire Don Lemon, it would be because A, he brings in terrible ratings, or B, he's extremely, from what we've heard, volatile and mean to his coworkers. I think those are two legitimate reasons to fire somebody. Nowhere in my reasoning would be he said a dumb comment about Nikki Haley. You know why, Jared? Because I believe in the Joe Bidenism, that everybody has a right to be an idiot. And I actually enjoy the fact that CNN really...
Everybody's entitled to be an idiot.
Takes advantage of that right. You know, they all use it every single day. And so, no, you
shouldn't... That's the truth.
Shouldn't fire Don because of that. Okay, so back to what we're discussing here. Back to what people want to talk about. The number's 844-500-4242. We're going to take your calls on this. But I want to give you a little rundown of what is happening right now with East Palestine, Ohio, or I should really say what is not happening. So the response from the Biden administration has been highly criticized, as it should be. Jared, you just showed me a great tweet from Eric
Matheny.
And he tweets out a photo of Pete Buttigieg, construction hat on. I want to make note here. He has his hard hat on, you know. It's just another white man in a hard hat. You hate to see it. You hate to see it. I would say this is perpetuating racism in the construction working industry.
Yeah, cosplay is tough.
So this is not good. Anyway, so he's surrounded by a few other white men in hard hats. And he has his arms crossed. And he's staring at something. And Eric writes, Pete Buttigieg really thought that being Secretary of Transportation meant 4 years of talking about climate change and white supremacy, and then one day he'd get to be president. It's the most accurate tweet I've seen all week. It's exactly what he thought. And, you know, it wouldn't have even been that tricky. Like, we've talked about how in the past you didn't really know who the Secretary of Transportation was. I mean, maybe you do if you're super into politics, but like Elaine Chao, for example, you didn't hear her name getting thrown around that much because a lot of things weren't going wrong. So it's kind of one of those jobs where if no one's talking about you, you're probably doing a good job. Things are running smoothly. Pete has made such a name for himself because of all of these problems. And a lot of people are saying it's because he has no idea what he's doing. I almost think if they just picked him, right? And he had no idea what he was doing, and he just kind of coasted. He just kind of let things stay as they were and didn't do anything. And the same goes for Joe Biden, by the way. If they just got into office and just put the car in cruise control, put the beast in cruise control, and just let all of the things Trump did play out, I do think everything would have been okay. The problem with Pete and with Joe is that that's not enough. They don't want things to run smoothly. The goal is not to have things run smoothly. The goal is to hammer people with these conversations about equity and diverse pilots and all of these other issues. And eventually, when you start incorporating this woke ideology into these agencies, things do start to break down, and that's now what we're seeing. It's very unfortunate. So one of these agencies is the EPA. Now, remember, I think it was last week, the administrator from the EPA told us, in one of the most comical things to come out of this whole horrible, horrible situation, he said that the people in East Palestine should trust the government. Now, it's hard to hear that and not laugh, because I don't know about you, but the last thing on my to-do list is trusting the government, especially right now. And so the EPA is saying, trust the government. Care to know, Jared, what the EPA is up to this week?
Ooh, yes, I do.
EPA awards $550 million in environmental justice grants as the Biden administration East Palestine response is under fire. So this is from Breitbart. And it says the EPA announced on Thursday it would be doling out over $500 million, which really, now when we think about it, That's like...
That's one gun for Ukraine.
Yeah, small change here, okay?
That's one pair of pumps for Mrs. Zelensky.
Yeah, come back when you're talking in the bees here. The millions don't really do it for us anymore. But they're going to give out $550 million for environmental justice. The Biden administration announced on Thursday that the EPA, through its new Environmental Justice Thriving Communities grant-making program, would be giving away $550 million in grants to 11 entities to serve as grant makers to community-based projects that reduce pollution. If only we could channel this energy and channel this money to a place that really needs it. But nothing's coming to mind right now. Is there a place in this country where, I don't know, there's black plumes of smoke above, and there's fish dying by the thousands in the rivers, and children can't play outside out of fear that they're going to get rashes all over their bodies, and their parents have sudden migraines? Is there any place like that that comes to mind? No. Let's just keep working on the grants. This is what it's all about. Now, Joe Biden has finally tweeted about what's happening in Ohio. And this is also from Breitbart. It says, President...
I'm a train guy.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point. I didn't even think of that, Jared. This is a guy who's made his bones, in the words of Mo Green, he made his bones talking about these flipping trains. Talks about trains nonstop. When you don't want to talk about trains, guess what Joe Biden wants to talk about? And now, trains are in the news. And Willow's got his tongue. He's not saying diddly squat about the train situation, but he did put out a tweet. So I just want to read you this. And it's not the tweet, because the tweet's full of nonsense. But after the train wreck, now the train wreck occurred on February 3rd. Biden was silent about it on his official Twitter account until February 21st. February 21st, which happened to be the day before evil orange MAGA man arrived in East Palestine. You might say Trump lit a fire under the behinds of the Biden administration. But the day before Trump goes to East Palestine, Joe Biden, or whoever does his Twitter, the Easter Bunny, finally finds the account and decides, yeah, okay, well, I'll tweet about it. Care to guess how many times he tweeted about Ukraine during that same span from February 3rd to February 21st? Tweeted about Ukraine 8 separate times. 8 separate times he tweets about Ukraine because he cares more about Ukraine. He cares more about their pensions, about their border, about their safety, about their president than he does about any citizens in this country. So he saves 8 tweets for Ukraine and the people in East Palestine get 1. That's all you really need to know about Joe Biden and about this administration. We're going to continue to talk about this, and I want to talk about Ukraine when we come back, because I have updates for you from a Biden official who is clearing Ukraine of misusing U.S. financial aid. I'm slightly skeptical of this new report. We'll talk about that when we return. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
So I lost my train of thought.
I think you've lost your mind. I think this whole administration's lost its mind. We are going to come back to talking about Pete, to talking about East Palestine. But there's so many other stories out there, and I don't want to miss anything. So I wanted to use this segment to talk about a death row inmate in Florida. Now, Ron DeSantis, everyone's kind of softening the soil, laying the groundwork down for, in case DeSantis runs, we need to be able to make him out to be just as much of a monster as Donald Trump. You know, the media has to keep that machine moving. And so they thought, I think, that this story was going to help them. It just makes me like Ron DeSantis more. If you missed this guy, Donald Dilbeck, was convicted of stabbing a woman to death in 1990. Now, that was only after he escaped from a work release program while he was serving time for killing a sheriff's deputy. Okay? He, just prior to his execution, just before, he decides, instead of, you know, saying, and I got to give credit here to Bonchi from Red State, who did a brilliant job with this, but instead of maybe saying how much regret he has, how sorry he is to the families whose lives he changed / destroyed forever. No. Dilbeck decides to talk about Ron DeSantis. And this is what he had to say, okay? I know I hurt people when I was young. I really messed up. But I know Ron DeSantis has done a lot worse. He's taken a lot from a lot of people. I speak for all men, women, and children. That's a bold, right there. Can we, as Bonchi points out, can we get a fact check on that? Does he speak for all men, women, and children?
So Ron DeSantis has murdered more than two people? That's interesting.
He says he put his foot on our necks. Ron DeSantis and other people, and then he goes into profanity that I can't say here on the show. But I think by putting this out there, this was from a writer from the Tallahassee Democrat who thought, I got to assume they thought this is going to make Ron DeSantis look really bad. And sometimes certain enemies, Jared, if you've got certain enemies, I think you're doing something right.
Oh, of course, The View is going to run with this now. Ron DeSantis, literal murderer.
And actually, you know what? In Florida, there's that horrible story about the man. He killed this woman, and then he came back to the crime scene, and he killed this young reporter, this young guy who was engaged, and he also killed a 9-year-old. It's just a horrible, horrible story. But they released the body cam footage of when they found this absolute vile human being, and they arrested him. You know what he tried to pull? He started to say, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, you're killing me, I can't breathe. It's just, we have a real societal rot happening. And people can say it's gun control, people can say it's, you know, this story's not going to go anywhere because the man was black, so they can't blame, the media can't blame it on white supremacy. But it also has to have something to do with the fact that there doesn't seem to be any sort of accountability. There doesn't seem to be any sort of punishment for people when they do these horrible things. Hopefully, because this isn't Florida, this guy will be punished to the full extent of the law. But when I saw that video, and we have the sound of it, I don't even know if I want to play it, but you can tell he's immediately goes into, oh, I'll be the victim. I'll be the victim in this story. I just killed a 9-year-old, and I killed a young reporter. And then I killed a woman this morning, but I'm going to say I can't breathe, and then I'll be the victim in this narrative. I don't think so, buddy. We'll be back. We got a lot more to talk about. Don't go anywhere. It's Friday. It's Friday.